Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. And we head to our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports to the program. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jens. How are you doing this morning?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, Bill Belichick, the next head coach at North Carolina in college football. A few things on this. Number one, how surprised are you that he is making the jump to college football? Is this a reading of the tea leaves that perhaps no NFL job was coming for Belichick? How do you view this seismic moment, as some are calling it, as we just found out on the television, that has gone down in college football?
Well, to answer it with the latter first, yeah, I got no indications whatsoever that there was that there had been interest conveyed to him going into the next coaching cycle, at least not yet. And it's not like Bill told me that, but I reached out to a number of agents who rep, I think, a number of individuals who would have been on Bill's staff, you know, and they hadn't heard. It wasn't like, hey, make sure you're in the bullpen situation. I'm going to put a staff together if I get this job or that job. It was silent. And so when I think the UNC job, I think when it first broke, this idea of him going to UNC, everybody I talked to across the league was like, it's leverage play, it's chess. He's basically just trying to push NFL teams to the table and let them know, hey, I'm going back to coaching, get it in gear, and let's start talking. I don't think there was any evidence that motivated anybody in the NFL to reach out to him and say, hey, you know, back channel it. Once this gets moving, you're going to be near the top of our candidate list. I think if that had happened, UNC probably this never comes together. But I do think it became real to people in the NFL the second you started to hear the idea of Steven Belichick succeeding him and Bill basically setting up Steven for a head coaching job at UNC. Everyone's known for as long as Steven has been part of Bill's staff, Bill has always wanted to make sure he had a seat at the table once he walked away. So that made it seem like, okay, this dovetails with what Bill's NFL plan often was. This really does start to feel real. The most interesting moment to me, though, was the whole manifesto. Like, he sends over this, like, hundreds of pages of how he wants the program to run. He doesn't want any pushback on it, all this stuff. And someone from the Falcons reached out to me, and I had reported when the Falcons job fell through, I'd reported, look, there are people inside the organization that don't believe, like, they believe Bill wants full power. He'll walk through the door. He's going to be the same old Bill. And after I'd reported that, all of a sudden Bill doesn't get that job, and his media tributaries quickly come out and they're like, Bill didn't want full power. He doesn't want full power. He doesn't want full power. And I kind of went back to the Falcons people at the time and I said, you know, like, what's going on? They're saying he doesn't want full power, you know, and the individuals I was talking to inside the Falcons were like, yeah, sure. Okay. Like, he can say that. It's Bill. Well, the second the manifesto goes over to UNC, immediately I'm getting hit up by people in the Falcons who are like, see, like, we told you, this is who he is. Like, you can say whatever he wants, but the second he comes through your door, it's going to be the same setup as the Patriots. And, you know, so I think that's a big part of this. He can go in, he can do what he wants. It's going to be super fascinating. There is overlap now, I think, between the college game and the NFL game. You could say the NFL, if you want to put it in, like, the terms that we're familiar with, it's the NFL is 1A and college now is 1AA. They're part of sort of the same system, and they're going to be run very similarly. And we'll see what Bill can do at UNC. It's going to be – I'm wildly fascinated by this whole situation and how this will unfold. And I think it'll be – I'm curious, and I would ask you guys this. How does he recruit? Like, how does he recruit? Like, Fox brought – trotted out Edelman, Julian Edelman, Gronk, and Tom Brady, and they kind of – those guys started clowning him immediately about, like, can you imagine Bill sitting in your living room as a high school recruit? And at one point, Tom Brady, he like does a Belichick voice, and he's like, yeah, we don't even really want you here, but you can come and we can find out if you're a good player. And I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm like, this is his, like, three of his greatest players of all time who are like, I don't know how this dude would have recruited me in high school. So I don't know. You guys tell me what you think. It's going to be a wild ride.
Well, a couple of things. You mentioned Steve Belichick. I bet anybody right now he's not the next coach at UNC. There's no way that's contractual. I know some people threw that out there. I mean, it's all going to get FOIA'd. There's no way that's contractual. If it is, UNC is the dumbest school in the history of the planet. But
sure. Yeah.
But I tell you, man, our friend and your coworker Dan Wetzel, he's big on it. I read his. I'm like, my God, you got me excited for it. But I just don't. I think it's going to be bad. Maybe not terrible, but I don't think he's. Yeah, I understand the NFL cachet. But, yeah, to your point there, you still have to.
You know it's butt-kissing you got to do to recruit in college football? Yeah, like, yeah. Is he going
to
do that?
Re-recruit.
Right.
You have to re-recruit now. I was sitting there when it finally came down that it was happening. And I don't know why, but in my mind, I just thought back to the Deion Sanders being like, I'm coming in my Louis, coming with me. I'm thinking Billy's like, I got my Samsonite in the car. like, what is he saying when he's like, because there is an element of the college game where you got to fire these kids up. You know, you have to be, there's a certain circus element to it. You don't have to be Brian Kelly, you know, dancing and putting out weird videos.
Dude,
players,
we need some of those with Belichick.
Yes,
though,
we do.
Right?
Dancing,
yeah, oh my God,
it's the same thing.
But like, it's a great right? Call. There is definitely an element of that in the college game, and I'm like, where does Bill reach for that? Like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, now he's clearly in a relationship now where he's reaching younger people.
You had to go there. I wasn't going to go there.
Listen, I'll just stay with that too. You know, I don't, no one's going to talk about it. No one's going to, I mean, it's not going to get trotted out there, but you know, the NFL, particularly with head coaches, it's still an optics world. It's still, and you know, you think about the Bears. You think the McCaskey family, you know, like Virginia McCaskey, like you don't think they're sitting there going, yeah, okay, like sure, like this seems like a really totally stable situation in this guy's personal life.
Well, but colleges are huge on that. You know that colleges are huge on this guy's married, right? I don't want single guys here on this camp. I mean, that's a
Which
thing.
Is part of what makes I think it's part of what makes this so wild, and I think it's part of – I talked to Dan about it yesterday, and Dan Wetzel loves the circus, right? So I'm like, of course, he's going to love this because no matter how it goes, there's going to be a circus-like nature to it.
That's true.
If it succeeds, it's going to open up a whole other sort of dimension of how we look at maybe football, maybe some of it all of a sudden becomes possible to me. NFL coaches go the opposite way because it's more like an NFL system. If it fails spectacularly, it's that what we're not going to talk about that. Of
Charlie
course.
Weiss, there's a long list that he'll join. You know,
sure, yeah, absolutely, and I would argue that Weiss was a more charismatic draw to players than Bill is. That's saying something.
Wow.
So. Woo.
Yeah. How about Josh? Let's get Josh McDaniels. Man. Yeah. Can we get him going? Yeah. When's he going to be announced as offensive quality control?
Yes.
Well, he, you know, Mike Lombardi being his general manager, there's definitely the quality of, you know, getting the band back together. I mean, there's going to be some familiar names without a doubt that end up with him on that staff. But I just from covering guys that left the nest, knowing people that, you know, have gotten out of the front office, all these different things, they handle their business and their operation. It is, I don't know, look, some guys will just tell you it's joyless. Like, it's joyless. Like, you're there for the grind. You're there to do the job. And if you can't do it, it's a miserable experience. How does that translate to college? Like, is this, I made a joke on the podcast where I'm like, Jason Fitz was asking me, he's like, well, like, why? Like, why do you do this? And I'm like, well, Bill, he wants to coach. He doesn't want to sit out another rotation. He clearly wants to coach. He's always going to be a coach. And then I made the joke about, you know, the end of Blue Chips where Nick Nolte's blown up his entire career. And then but he's walking by the basketball court and he sees the young kid and he goes, let me shoot. Let me show you where to put your hand when you shoot a jump shot. Like, I don't know if that's what we're supposed to think Bill is. But, yeah, I mean, I guess there's an element to him that he's going to go in and teach football to young kids. And maybe that's the draw. I've heard the opinion of like, well, if I am a parent, I now want my kid to go and play for Belichick because it's Bill Belichick. And I don't know, man. I don't know.
Maybe, but yeah, you know, like, I mean, the Ohio State and, you know, Georgia, they send guys to the NFL, and, you know, I guess I shouldn't maybe use Ohio State because he's, you know, might be in trouble too. But you know, like, there's a lot more.
What happens when you send your five star, you know, quarterback, right? What happens when that kid calls and says, Bill, you know, coach hasn't talked to me in 3 weeks. Like, coach won't look at me. Coach won't, you know, what happens when these things that Bill would subject people to on the NFL level, where he would literally walk by people in the hallway and not look at them, not acknowledge their existence, and it really bothered them. What are you going to do when it's like kids?
I will say, like, you know, it's funny you say that, but I that was the whole Saban thing with the Dolphins, right? People were actually told, like, do not speak to Coach Saban unless he speaks to you first, and he did okay in college, but yeah, you know. But it's a fair point. It's going to be fascinating.
I would argue that Nick is a more just like a more charismatic guy than Bill.
And you and I know Nick, that charisma when you, well.
When you and I covered Nick, remember when he used to try to open each press conference with like a joke? Who clearly someone else wrote for him. And we would just be like
some real bangers.
Yes, yeah. Yes, awful comedic timing. We're like, okay. By the way, I want to say how is Nick graying when we covered him 24 years ago? Yeah. He's maintained that luscious.
No, I mean he's actually like gone backward physically, like 20 years younger yeah. than when we covered him.
It's God, it's interesting. You know, the glasses. Remember, he used to have the glasses. Oh, yeah. Glasses.
Yeah, he's like a 63 year old man, and now
shit out on the Marlboros.
The
a little
Benjamin
bit.
Yeah. Buttons situation.
So Charles, the Eagles 11-2 are sitting in a really good spot in the NFC. And yet, A.J. Brown stirring some things up this week.
Yeah.
When asked what's
Brilliant.
Wrong with the offense, he said, passing. You had Brandon Graham get out there and talk about his and Jalen Hurts' relationship that they had to come out and try to squash yesterday. What do you make of the drama with the Philadelphia Eagles right now?
Well, and the interesting thing with A.J., there was really, it was a minute-long exchange with the reporters that everybody saw the clip where he just said passing, but it went beyond that. They kept, you know, at one point, someone asked, like, how difficult is it to get into a rhythm if you're only passing the ball 20 times a game or whatever, and I think he said something like extremely difficult. And then at one point, a reporter asked him, what are the conversations like with Jalen on the sidelines? And he was like, there are no conversations. I don't know. And I was like, okay. I'm like, this is – it was much more than just the whole passing thing. Like, he was shading hard. And, yeah, it's – you're 11-2. Like, you're 11-2, and what's crazy to me is when you look at what they did, clearly during the bye week, they changed. They were like, all right, Jalen's turned the ball over 7 times in 4 games. We're 2-2. He's throwing it 33 times a game. We have to retool this and figure this out. We have a great line. We have a running back who we think a lot of, you know, obviously it's now in the MVP conversation. So what they did was he went from averaging 33 passes a game, goes in the bye, comes out. Since then, he's averaged 21 passes a game. So that's 12 passes, 12 targets that are disappearing, vanishing. And then they slid more into, okay, we're going to count more on Saquon in the running game. We're going to count more on Jalen in the running game. We're probably going to produce fewer offensive plays in total. And so someone's going to sacrifice. That ends up being the wide receivers, both Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. And while I know they're upset about it, you're 9-0 since you made the change. And I do think that in that locker room with some of those offensive players, they look at like Detroit and they go, wait a minute, they can run the football, but they're also like everybody on offense is eating in Detroit. They look at Baltimore. They're like, hey, everybody on offense is eating in Baltimore. The difference is Detroit's defense stinks. They're beat to hell. Like, and then you look at Baltimore, same issue. Like, they've got defensive problems. They have to boat race. The offenses have to boat race to win games. The Eagles are holding the defense. I think it's like 15 points a game during the 9-game win streak. The Eagles defense is playing good. You can play the way that they're playing, beat teams handily, and look like one of the best teams in the NFC. So it just, it's nonsensical. It was a foolish moment. I think everybody around it has handled it the best they can, apart from Brandon Graham, who, if I had picked someone before this happened, someone said, hey, who is going to defuse this? I would have been like, Brandon Graham will. It was totally the opposite. Brandon Graham was like, Brandon, here's a fire. And he's like, well, here's a hand grenade that I'm going to throw in the fire.
They actually hate each other.
I wish they were friends. Like, oh, well.
And I always love the janitorial staff that shows up afterward after something like that, because then Sirianni comes on. He's like, I see them praying together. And then like, I see them eating together in the cafeteria. And then Brandon Graham comes out, and he's like, I didn't know what I was talking about. Like, no, man, your first words are usually the most accurate ones. And then when it, you know, goes sideways and you come out and try to clean it up later, that's the stuff I don't trust. So, yeah, not great. I would bet the over on targets for A.J. Brown in the next game. Like,
I will throw eight receiver screens and just there you go.
Yeah, I am certain he will get the first pass of the game, and I will bet you he has probably a season high number of targets in the next game. That's what usually happens. I wouldn't be surprised if that's what happens in this game.
Maybe they can do like a throwback, and he can throw into her, throw a hospital ball at her. So, everybody feel better about it.
I'll show you.
Stop yeah. it. Hey, Stop it, speaking of cleaning things up, there's a segue. So everybody here, of course, is mad about, well, everything, Charles, with this 3-10 Tennessee Titans team. But I think in particular, we've talked today about ownership, Amy Adams Strunk. We've talked with you about it before, too. But I made a comparison earlier about, you got the Jerry Jones dynamic, which is like no other owner, which is just like, my God, please stop talking about everything all the time. And there's varying degrees of that. But Amy Adams Strunk has not participated in any sort of actual question and answer session with an assembled media group here, and I believe we're going on 6 years. And when the product is this bad, to me, the product is this bad, and you just got the largest amount of public money ever for a stadium. To me, maybe you need to rethink things a little bit. But help me put it into context for me. Owners in the NFL being willing to do anything, beyond like their own website.
It is rare to go that long without really having any. I mean, that's Paul Allen when he was alive spoke to Paul Allen was one of the richest people in the world, and yet would speak to the media. It wasn't like a Jerry situation. It wasn't, Paul Allen's not going to be out there when they would make a major move or sign this person or fire that person, but. He would show up and talk to the media, and he was accessible at times when the franchise knew that was the right thing to do, and they had two strong people in place in John Schneider and Pete Carroll, and yet Paul was still on the radar. David Tepper's it's there are different types of owners. Like, there are owners that are extremely rich and wealthy and want to be in the mix, Tepper, Jerry Jones. And then there are others, Stan Kroenke is probably more reserved, and yet he does talk to the media. You won't go 2 years without Stan Kroenke talking to the media. So this situation is rare, and I understand fans being upset. And I think a bigger part of the story, too, as the stadium stuff rolls forward, fans are going to get absolutely shell-shocked out of their minds about the whole PSL thing, how much tickets are now going to cost in a real-world way, because you're going to have people are sitting there going, okay, I have to pay tens of thousands of dollars to keep the tickets that I have right now. That's what this is going to look like going forward. You're going to have people from the ticket office who I always thought this was entertaining. So when the Patriots were doing really well, people from the ticket office would call and be like, okay, you have these season tickets. If you want to renew, they're going to get hiked. You're going to pay $30,000, you know, $25,000 for these season tickets, but we'll give you an opportunity to purchase Super Bowl tickets at X amount down the line, and we'll put you on a payment plan. Like, it becomes like a, like, it's crazy. Like, it's completely wild. And I think that's what fans are going to experience. If an owner puts a fan base through that, you better be accessible. You better be accessible. And you're going to be hated. If you roll out a new stadium and fans are eyeballs deep in debt to watch a 3-10 team, you're going to be hated. That's the bottom line. So I think Amy Adams Strunk has to decide, do I want to be hated by my fan base? Because it'll get there fast. If it's not already there now, the combination of bad football and a lot of money to see the bad football and having no confidence that the bad football is going to be changed, that will lead to a pure hatred of an owner. That'll transform really, really quickly. You might think it's bad now. Just wait. Just wait until you have Titans fans going, I can't buy season tickets, nor do I want to anymore. And this owner is, I don't want to be involved with the team until this owner's gone, because she doesn't know what she's doing and she's not held accountable in any way. She doesn't make herself available to be asked hard questions. It'll turn to hatred. And I hope that, you know, she understands that. I've seen that happen with, you know, Mark Davis makes himself available and Raiders fans, it's turned into a hatred because he doesn't seem to know what he's doing.
Well, that's kind of my next question is like, so, okay, so if you're her and considering all this stuff, what's the upside? Because we all agree she absolutely needs to be accountable. What is the upside? Is there an upside if you are made available, if you make yourself available and you at least have that level of public accountability, if the other things stay the same?
What's the upside?
That's a deep side.
I mean, I the upside is
you're not making a case.
Okay, well, the upside is it takes away the argument that you don't make yourself available to be held accountable. So at least that's off the table. If you're willing to go out there and take the arrows and not roll out your general manager to be your flak jacket or your team president to be your flak jacket or make someone else go out there and get absolutely hammered, at least if you're out there taking the difficult questions, be prepared. Know how to answer the questions. You better be on your P's and Q's when you get asked these things, and you can't look like a buffoon. Like, that's obviously makes it worse, and that's completely cancels out the accountability aspect. If you just go out there and you look like you don't know what you're doing, you can't answer questions.
Are we talking about Mark Davis again? Is that what we're mentioning anyone, but yeah, I gotcha.
It's not great when you get an owner up there and you're like, this person clearly does not know what they're doing. They don't grasp. There's no real answers here. They don't seem sharp when it comes to the plan. If you're going to do it, be as prepared as possible, but that's the upside. It takes away this person's hiding. They want my money. They're giving me a crap product. They're hiding. It's a cowardly, you look cowardly. You do. You look like you're running a corporation. It's cold. It's calculated. It's a very discernible feeling that develops in fan bases, and you can disarm some of that by going out and not only making yourself available, you know, and accountable, being able to say, you know what, I made some mistakes like that. Like, fan bases love hearing coaches, owners, general managers going, you know what, made some mistakes. I'm going to own up to it. I owe the fan base better than this. We're going to do better. And I'm gonna take some of that on my shoulders because I could have done this better, that better. We're gonna get there. I think that helps. But when you just disappear, and the media is like, well, we don't ever have a chance to really put this person, you know, to the test. Fans notice that, and it's horrible. Like the Dan Snyder, there was a whole multitude of other stuff with Dan. It was a million things with Dan Snyder. But I can tell you, things that made it worse and worse and worse as Dan Snyder went on was the fact that he would not stand up in front of the media and talk to the media and actually take hard questions. That is the most infuriating thing possible for the fan base. And if we're being real, also the reporters who are sitting there going, we're trying to get the questions answered. This person won't do it. And I think that comes out in the coverage of the team eventually.
Charles, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us today on the program, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Take care.
Yep, Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rexroad. Lots to react to there from Charles. We'll do that next. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.